Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with Dan Gregory Blair. Dan's the Deputy Director of the Office of Personnel Management. And joining us in our conversation is Nicole Gardner.
Thanks, Paul. So, Dan, we've had a very interesting conversation, and we've talked about a lot of the initiatives. Let's turn our attention just a little bit now and talk about some of the challenges that are facing the government today in the world of human capital and HR. What are they, and how are they being addressed?
Well, as you know, and it's been highlighted quite a bit, we face a retirement wave, that a significant number of federal employees will be eligible for retirement over the course of the next 5 years. If you give early outs as well as regular retirement, over half the workforce or up to half the workforce in our executive ranks, it goes up to 70%. That said, I think the most significant challenge we're facing is making sure the agency and department heads know that human resource issues, human capital issues, are no longer just HR, the human resource department's purview. Rather, it's a management and leadership issue. And to emphasize that and to drill that down, we have of the five strategic cross-cutting initiatives on the president's management agenda, the strategic management of human capital is the first one. And it's the first one because you can't achieve success on the other four without effectively having the right people, the right skills, the right knowledge in place, getting the right jobs done. It's that important. And since it's that important, agency leadership has taken notice. We're holding agencies and departments accountable. That's why you have a scorecard. And we'll continue to hold them accountable for the ways that they manage their workforce.
You mentioned the retirement wave and the impact on federal agencies. Let me make this personal. What kind of challenges does this present OPM?
Well, at OPM, we're engaged in workforce planning, and we know where our people may or may not be leaving. That said, it's also an opportunity. And one of the things that Director James has stressed is that when we talk about a human capital crisis, the flip side of that is a human capital opportunity about bringing new people in government and bringing fresh faces and new ideas. That said, you're going to have systems in place that can rapidly replace those people who might be leaving. Now, we've heard about a retirement wave, and our information shows that not quite as many people retired the past year as had been predicted. I think that's primarily because of the economy. But in the next hot economy, we may be having more people retire than we had anticipated. So that's why we really need to have systems in place, effective hiring systems in place, that can bring people on board quickly with the right skills in order to accomplish agency mission and goals.
So, Dan, under the banner of challenges, continuing along this theme, you mentioned in the very beginning segment about the fact that you've been asked to help fix the hiring process, and we talked about the recruitment one-stop, but there's a whole lot that happens once a candidate says, I want to be considered for a job. Tell us about what's happening there, and what can people expect if you apply for a job? You know, who's responsible? How's this going?
Well, at a bare minimum, we expect agencies to get back with potential applicants. If you file an application for a federal job, we would hope that the agency receiving that application would get back with you either with a letter or with an email acknowledging the application and at some point letting you know where you may stand in that process. We've emphasized that agencies shouldn't rely on online technologies alone, that there is a digital divide out there, and that there are people who don't have access to computers for one reason or another, and that agencies should provide the same access to those that we provide to those who do have access to the Internet. That said, hiring is no longer just within the realm of the HR department. Today's job applicant is not going to wait around 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, or 9 months to hear back from a potential employer about a job. You have to get back more quickly. We have to make sure that agencies have systems in place that can not only process the applicants that they have, but the back end as well as rating and ranking. One of the key aspects of the Homeland Security legislation was it gave agencies some flexibility in how they hire, in the processes that they use in hiring people. There was limited direct hire authority for hard-to-fill jobs and critical occupations. There was the ability to use alternative forms of ranking. Right now in the federal government, or up until the passage of that legislation, we hire job applicants under what we call the Rule of Three. The Rule of Three dates back to 1871. Why we were hiring under a 130-year-old rule is beyond me. And that was one of the key aspects, I think one of the key victories in that legislation, is that we were able to employ more contemporary methods of rating and ranking folks. But more needs to be done. And the agencies are the ones that have to employ these methods. It's no longer an HR thing. Hiring is no longer an HR thing. Hiring is an issue for agency leadership and management as well. Because if you're going to have people leaving, either to go to private sector or to other agencies or for other opportunities or retiring, you're going to need to have a process in place that can fill those jobs quickly. Because if you can't fill the job, you can't do the work that the president and the American people expect you to carry out. And so it's very critical that we pay attention to this. One area in which I've been visiting a number of agencies and talking about is we've developed a 30-working-day model for hiring a senior executive service member. Now, before, it had taken 6 to 9 months to hire an SESer, and we know that this can be complicated. That said, if an agency wants to hire someone quickly, we've developed a process, and I've talked to a number of agencies so far about how they can employ this process to bring them on within 30 working days. And I think that's an example of what OPM is about now, is that we can operate within the current system of flexibilities. While we may need more, we certainly do need to do more of using what we have on hand. And that's what we're about, is helping the agencies meet their goals and missions.
So you gave us a little bit of historical context. We've been talking sort of in the present, all the challenges and the strategic initiatives that OPM is involved with. So let's push the button and fast forward maybe 3, 5, 10 years. You've been in government a long time, and you're very familiar with all of the issues you're dealing with. What do you think OPM's going to be doing in 5 to 10 years?
That's a good question. There's a definite trend towards decentralization in agency personnel management, and that trend's going to continue. I think, however, what we've developed a good template with the Department of Homeland Security in that the core values of the civil service are maintained, and I think that that's imperative that the core values of the civil service be maintained while giving agencies maximum amount of flexibility to operate and manage their workforces as best they see fit. We're going to continue to hold agencies accountable, and that trend towards accountability, I think, will only be strengthened over the years, especially as more and more flexibility is accorded to agencies in managing their workforce. You will always see a need for an Office of Personnel Management, however, especially when it comes to administering our retirement systems, our health insurance systems, our life insurance system, and our new long-term care system. The new long-term care system is up and running now. We just had a comprehensive open season ending at the end of the year, and already we predict this to be the largest sponsored long-term care program in the country. That said, as our population ages, the need for long-term care is not going to decrease, but increase. And so this is going to be an added role for the Office of Personnel Management. And it's going to be part of a competitive benefits package that we want to maintain and make sure that it is competitive and contemporary in order to attract and retain our best employees.
You've had a chance to take us through the gamut, so I'm curious, what advice would you give to a young person considering a career in public service?
I would say the sky's the limit. I think that you can begin as an entry-level job and progress as far as you want to in the federal government. Director James recently addressed a number of visiting students from some historically black colleges and universities, and she told them that the skills and abilities that you have are the skills and abilities you can give to your country. So, in fact, any job that exists in the private sector probably has a public sector counterpart in one way, shape, or form. We've seen since September 11th a resurgence of interest in public service, and I think that's very important. The functions of government are today more important than ever in securing our homeland and protecting the country and making sure that the country continues to be a beacon of liberty and freedom, and that public service is something to hold your head high up about, and that the sky's the limit when it comes to public service.
I have one more question for you, Dan. What's the highlight, if you could tell us, of your civil service career?
Oh, I think that's obvious. I think working for the president and this director as a deputy for the Office of Personnel Management is beyond that. If for some reason it ended tomorrow, it's been a phenomenal opportunity. It's the highest honor that I have ever been accorded, and I want to continue working hard for both. It's an incredible organization. It's a dynamic organization. I have the privilege of working with a director who has vision and boundless energy and wants to create a world-class organization, and I want to be part of that. And so keep it coming.
Well, Dan, I'm afraid we're out of time. Nicole and I want to thank you for being here, but you mentioned websites a couple times during our conversation. I can't help but think that someone might be interested and want to learn more. How could they get more information?
Well, let me put my recruiting hat on and say that we have thousands upon thousands of jobs available now. And if you're graduating from college, if you're an executive out there looking for a change, or you're in mid-career and you want to do something different, log on to our website, and it's www.usajobs, J-O-B-S, again, usajobs.opm.gov. And we have thousands of jobs listed, an ability to apply for them. There's an online resume builder, and the government needs you. The government wants you. Be a little patient. We still are re-engineering our systems, but we really need you, and the time is critical for people with good skills.
Thank you, Dan. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Dan Gregory Blair, Deputy Director of the Office of Personnel Management. Be sure and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and research and get a transcript of today's fascinating conversation. Again, that's businessofgovernment.org. This is Paul Lawrence. Thank you for listening.